The epistle appointed for this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you received, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preached it to you, unless you have believed to no purpose. But I delivered to you first of all what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Mark. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, departing from the district of Tyre into the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, to the midst of the districts of Decapolis, and they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou open. And his ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loose, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And he cured the deaf and dumb. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At first in today's epistle, St. Paul is telling the Corinthians, for many of them before their conversion, believed that there was no resurrection. But here he's proving it without a doubt. And also to remind them to persevere in their faith and in their belief. But as St. Paul points out, the 11 apostles attribute to this, and that more than 500 were seen at one time. And as our Lord did these things, to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he rose from the dead. Because everything depends on this article of faith. For without it, what good is St. Paul's preaching? What good is all the work that our Lord did? All the miracles? All the teaching? Remember, it was only after his resurrection that he brought up about the baptism. Of course, we know all this, and it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. We listen and we believe because our Lord said so. And this is what St. Paul was trying very forcefully to point out. Even so much that he goes back and remembers that I, first of all, was a persecutor of the church. And now as I have learned it, so I preach it to you. In today's gospel, our Lord heals a deaf and dumb person. Takes him aside, does a little ritual, putting his fingers in his ears and spitting and touching his tongue and demonstrating to him to look up to heaven that everything comes from God and cures him. Well, let us look at another picture of the spiritual deaf and dumb. They hear, they listen, but that's as far as it goes. It's very hard to talk to somebody who should know better, but it's hard to talk to somebody about religion or religious things. When you look at their attitude and conduct, they try to change the subject or try to bow down their head or not pay attention or give a little remark. What are they afraid of? How can you get into a person's heart that's made of stone? And it got that way by pride and arrogance. How can we penetrate this? They say they believe in God. If you ask them, well, are you praying? Well, some maybe. Once, maybe not. They know what the Word of God is. Don't they realize that this is the same God that has mercy on them, that's so desirous to forgive them, is so desirous to give them peace, and yet they continue on. They continue on. Every day our Lord goes after them. Doesn't need to show miracles, just the natural signs. The crucifixes on the wall, the statues, certain phrases, even certain individuals. They know, but what are they afraid of? They always keep rejecting. How long is this foolish game going to go on? But our Lord keeps after them. The only way to conquer these type of people, unfortunately, and it takes a long time, is by our good example. Our prayers and good example. You remember our Lord was talking about the Eucharist. And he was explaining to the Jews then, you know, you must eat the Son of Man and drink his blood, otherwise you shall not have life within you. What happened here? They heard. They listened. Some complained. But the majority of them, what, walked away. They didn't want to hear this. It's too much. Does our Lord say anything about bringing them back? No. Did he try to explain himself? No. He turns to the 12, and what does he say to them? Are you going to go too? And then St. Peter answers the very words that these deaf and dumb should be answering. Thou hast words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Do we really think we can continue on our own? It's not going to happen. Yes, we might live a comfortable life. Yes, we might have things that we want. But remember, our Lord said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? The rich young man had all these wonderful riches and everything, and our Lord said, you're lacking one thing. Give to the poor and come follow me. He could not do that. You want your reward now? Take it. Our Lord will let you have it. He'll give you everything you want. But you'll have no part with him. What a tragedy. We're taught in our catechism what? To know, love, serve our Lord, and in the end to be happy with him for all eternity. And these proud people only serve themselves. Only happy in the things that they can get. Our Lord wants to wake them up. So he does so little by little, one trial after another. And this is where our work comes into play. That backed by our prayer and our good example, we'll win them over eventually. That they will see their errors, that they'll accept the light, the grace that God is trying to send them. Look how easy it is to fall into this state of life. Sometimes a tragedy happens in our lives, and the first thing we do, we concentrate so much on the tragedy that we start slowly but surely slipping away. We stop going to Mass, stop praying, we stop reading, and slowly but slowly the devil's just leading us down this wide road. We're not even looking where we're walking. Even God himself has a hard time dealing with pride. He has nothing really to do with them. He definitely tries to wake them up. One serious fall after another, after another, after another, trying to get their attention. Why? Because he loves them. He desires them more, like he says, than the 99 sheep. It's these ones I'm after, and I will continue. The question is, does he want it? Does the proud man want this? He's got to desire it. Didn't our Lord say something about how hard it is for a camel to go to the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? But all these people that he spoke all these parables to, they heard all this stuff. They know what he said. The problem is, do they believe it? Do they believe it? Faith is a precious gift, and it can be lost really easily. This is what we have to hang on to. Increase our conviction. Stay close to the sacraments. Look what they're doing around the world. Is this what we call, as our Lord says, if you love me, you love one another and your neighbor as yourself and all this. Is this what we call love? What's going on now? The devil's having a heyday, causing chaos and disturbance, putting people up against others, trying to cancel out history, like they're trying to basically cancel out the church, history. We have a lot to be thankful for, but we have to be careful. We have to watch. We have to pray. Watch that we don't fall into any temptation or be lured away. And pray for the grace of God to enlighten our hearts and minds so we do the right things. Our Lord can only work with a humble heart, not a proud one. And our best efforts to get this across to the human race, it says, the way St. Benedict did it of old, by example. By prayer and by example. And the rest he left to God. And that's what we have to do today. We have to show that good example. We cannot act like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world. We have to be above it. The saints and the people of God didn't talk like that. They didn't dress like that. The people of the past really are examples too. We kind of laugh at some of the clothing or dresses that they had back in the day, but that was it. It seems like today's motto is, go bare as you dare. Really pleasing to the Lord. But these are the things we have to keep in mind. These are things we have to work at. We want to be children of God, knowing, loving, and serving him, and being happy with him for all eternity. That's our goal. And we must pray that pride never gets in the way of that goal. May God bless you. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.